This first convention report by Pastor Paul Deventer and Paul Schweinler of KFUO was aired Friday, July 15, 1977 at 5:30 p.m., the first day of the convention.
That we may grow is the theme. This 52nd regular convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod now underway in Dallas. The convention began with an opening service earlier this afternoon. We'll be sharing some highlights of that service in our report tomorrow morning. Over 1,100 delegates to the convention are in Dallas. They're housed in various hotels and motels in the area of the Dallas Convention Center here in Dallas. The center itself is adjacent to the downtown area of Dallas, similar to the new St. Louis Convention Center in proximity to the downtown area. Earlier today, Paul Schweinler visited the arena of the Convention Center, the place where the business sessions and worship services of the convention will take place.
Standing about in the center of the arena right now, the arena is round, almost perfectly round, a little bit oval-shaped, similar to the arena in St. Louis, not quite as large, however. This convention center is set up for conventions, concerts of different types, and not for athletic events, so it need not be quite that large. There are tables set up on the main floor of the arena portion where I'm standing right now. More than half of the tables are red. Those are for the voting delegates. And the rest of the tables are blue for the advisory delegates, with just the exception of the front two corners. Those tables are white. Those will be for the media and press people. There's a stage up front from where the main speakers will do their speaking. There are microphones placed in different strategic areas for discussion of resolutions, voting, and things of that sort. Behind the stage, there is a large curtain covering the back part of the stage, and on that curtain is a large banner. It's about 12 feet by 15 feet in size, and on the banner is a large red cross with the green tree in the center, the convention logo for this year, That We May Grow. There aren't a lot of people in the arena right now. Some people are walking around finding or choosing their seats. Things haven't started moving largely here yet. The convention hasn't officially started until after the opening service. Tomorrow, well, after 3 o'clock this afternoon, it has been a different type of thing. From the center of the arena at the Convention Center in Dallas, Texas, this is Paul Schweinler for the KFUO Newsroom.
At this moment, Paul Schweinler is attending a press conference with Synod President, the Reverend Dr. Jacob Preuss. We'll have more information on that also in our next report. The convention is to officially begin some 90 minutes from now. During tonight's session, the delegates will hear the President's report, and they will also be given the opportunity to officially place in nomination the names of the nominees for President of the Synod. Although it's not scheduled, balloting for President may begin this evening. At the very latest, the next President of Synod will have been elected by noon tomorrow. In addition to electing the President, who will serve the Synod for the next 4 years, the delegates will be facing such issues as the relationship of the Synod to the American Lutheran Church, the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, and the Lutheran Council in the USA. The proposed new hymnal will be discussed and voted on, along with a host of other resolutions and proposals. The theme of the convention that we mentioned earlier will also be the emphasis for Synod's work in the next 2 years. That We May Grow will stress especially the intensive study of God's Word, the source of life and growth. The theme is based on the words of the Apostle Peter: "As newborn infants, yearn for the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow unto salvation by it, since you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Also of major significance at this convention will be the observance of the Lutheran Black Centennial. Work among the blacks began officially by our church in 1877 with the establishment of St. Paul's Colored Lutheran Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. Tomorrow evening, the delegates will have the opportunity to witness and take place in the Black Centennial pageant. Well, there are so many things that will be happening during the next week that we could not begin to cover them all in this report. Paul Schweinler and I will be back periodically throughout the convention to keep you up to date on all the activities. As for now, the convention is underway, a convention that will certainly keep the delegates busy and will no doubt affect in many ways the life and ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the future. For KFUO, this is Paul Deventer in Dallas. Our next report, tomorrow morning at 7:45.
This next report was aired Saturday morning at 7:45.
In addition to the issues of fellowship with the American Lutheran Church and the adoption of a new hymnal, Delegates from every corner of the U.S. and Canada, and some from South America, will deal with the broadening of worldwide mission work.
That one issue that I hope this convention will really face is the matter of support for overseas missions and overseas churches. Because here is something that really, I think, is... I hope this convention will really face it and that the delegates will take the message home. I don't know that it's a matter of cutting back on other priorities, but it certainly is a matter of raising our sights on support of foreign work.
The delegates to the convention met again last evening and heard Dr. Price declare the convention in session.
I herewith declare the 52nd regular convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to be in session. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
One of the first orders of business was to recognize the observance of the Black Centennial.
For Jacob A. O. Preuss, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to hereby proclaim July 15, 1977, as the beginning of the Black Centennial Year, and urge all members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to give full consideration to the rich blessings of the Lord and to join in this centennial celebration by having special services of prayer and of praise and offerings of thanksgiving to the living Savior, and to invite black pastors as speakers for the occasion. In witness hereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused the seal of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to be affixed to this proclamation, July 15, 1977.
One of the responsibilities of the President of Synod is to report to the Synod in convention. Dr. Price's report lasted approximately 40 minutes last evening, and in it he commented on the positive aspects of the Synod during the past biennium, saying that the Synod has continued to show a record increase in the number of communicant members. It also showed the highest per communicant giving in our history, some $375 million for all purposes during the past biennium. Nearly 1,100 full-time church workers have been received into the various ministries of the church. And there is cause for rejoicing, he said, because of the great comeback of Concordia Seminary, from only 60 students several years ago to over 360 students at this time. Record growth has continued in virtually all the partner churches overseas, he said. He also commented on positive progress in the area of evangelism, as evidenced by the decline in backdoor losses and the increased number of adult baptisms and confirmations. Dr. Price also commented on what it means to be a confessional church.
Not all churches are confessional. It is a kind of a technical word. But put in the simplest language, a confessional church is first one which confesses that we are sinners. Don't forget that the Lutheran Reformation was born on the stone, cold floor of a monastic cell, with a man lying there saying, my sin, who shall deliver me? And it doesn't mean that I stand up here and confess your sins. That's easy. The job is when I start confessing my sins. And we each stand before God and confess, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That is Lutheran. That is confessional. And the second element of being a confessional church is that we don't look to our good works. We don't try to slide out of it or con God out of it or sweet talk him out of it. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that he has redeemed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. That's very important. That is our confession. And we don't only confess it intellectually, we don't only confess it in church, we confess it in our lives. We confess it in the way we run our families, in the way we do our business, in the way we act at this convention, in the way we live together as a church. And in the third place, a confessional church is one which does not hesitate to put down on paper for all the world to see exactly where it stands and what it teaches. Our fathers in Lutheranism were right there in the front row saying, we stand with the ancient church in the great creeds, the great ecumenical creeds. They didn't hesitate to say it. And they stood before emperors and popes and bishops and the world and said, "We believe, teach, and confess." And these documents, these confessions of ours, are not just something from 1530 or 1540. These are not just some dead documents interesting only to antiquarians. They are the living expression of a living faith, of a living church. And the reason for it is that they center on the realities of every life, sin, death, life, our relationship to God, our redemption in Christ Jesus, our eternal salvation. That is the beauty of the Lutheran confessions.
In talking about the future, Dr. Price said, "We in the church are like workers building a cathedral." He mentioned some of the bricks used in building the cathedral. "We need to stress Christian education," he said. "We need to create warmer and friendlier relationships with those on our continent who bear the Lutheran name. Our church must show concern for the suffering, for the physical needs of people as well as for the spiritual needs. Our colleges and seminaries need greater support, improved facilities and higher salaries for professors. There must be a renewal of the parish," President Price said, "with more Bible classes, prayer groups, evangelism efforts, more concern for church attendance, and greater emphasis upon activities for the youth of the church as well as for the elderly. Can these and the many other things the church must do be accomplished?" "Yes," said Dr. Price, "and our attitude is very important."
Candid here and very subjective, and if you don't agree with me, that's fine. A lot of people never have. But I think we've got to do something to change some attitudes. We've got to get over the idea that there is something very orthodox and very Lutheran about being against something. We need to start being for something. Concord, that great document, was really a way in which the Lutherans of 400 years ago beat their swords into plowshares and got busy with the Lord's work. No man is an island. Neither is any congregation or any circuit or any district. We're in this together. We're a team. Using biblical language, we're part of the body of Christ.
Following his report, Dr. Price's name, along with those of Drs. August Bernthal, Carl Heckman, Walter Meyer, and Charles Mueller, were placed in nomination for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Balloting for president will begin later this morning. Stay tuned to KFUO for a report on the results of this balloting and on all the activities of this convention throughout the next week. For KFUO Lutheran Radio, this is Paul Deventer in Dallas.
The following report of the 1977 LCMS convention was aired Saturday, July 16th at 11:45 a.m.
The first ballot for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was cast this morning in Dallas. Those appearing on the ballot were the Reverend Drs. August Bernthal, Carl Heckman, Walter Meyer, Charles Mueller, and Jacob Price. Just a few moments ago, it was reported that a second ballot will be needed. Dr. Price was two votes short of winning on the first ballot. Those ballots are at this time being distributed, and the count is expected early this afternoon. It is expected that eventually incumbent Dr. Price will be elected to another four-year term. In addition to those things reported earlier on KFUO pertaining to activity at the convention last evening, Paul Schweiner now reports on a normally non-controversial matter of seating delegates that got some unusual attention.
The question arose concerning what action the church should take with regard to those congregations holding dual membership in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches. Some 45 congregations are involved. By what appeared to be a 3-to-1 margin, the convention endorsed the resolution which encourages those congregations to terminate their membership in the AELC no later than 30 days prior to their respective district's conventions or face the possibility of forfeiting membership in synod. Dual membership congregations are urged to meet with their district presidents
along with a three-man committee appointed by the Synod to discuss their concerns. A district president may extend the cutoff date in unusual cases with the approval of the Synod president. Debate appeared to be evenly divided on the issue within the half-hour period it was discussed before the vote. The Commission on Constitutional Matters of the Synod had ruled last year that congregations belonging to the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches would have to forfeit their Synod membership and had set a deadline of September 1, 1977 for those parishes to reach a decision. The convention resolution affirms the CCM's former point, but allows an extension of the deadline since the LCMS districts hold their next conventions throughout the first half of 1978.
In other action this morning, the names of nominees for the various elected posts and synod to be filled at this convention were placed in nomination. Balloting for these posts will take place during the next few days. Balloting for the first vice president of synod is expected to be completed before the end of today's session. At the present time, delegates are discussing proposals relating to higher education. Before they break for lunch, they will also take up proposals in the area of theology and church relations. Paul Schweinler and I will be back with another direct report at 5:30 this evening. At that time, we'll recap for you all the major actions of the convention to date, along with several interesting sidelights. For KFUO, Paul Deventer reporting.
And now, Saturday's 5:30 report.
Hello, this is Paul Schweinler, along with Paul Deventer, reporting from Dallas. In this report, we will try to recap for you some of the significant happenings during the first 2 days of the 52nd Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Some 1,600-plus representatives and 1,500 guests gathered for the opening service Friday afternoon. Dr. Carl Heckman, who was president of the Texas District, was officiant and is host of this convention of the 1977 year. Dr. Meyer, who is fourth vice president of Synod and a professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, was the speaker. He called for humble, heart-deep repentance and issued the challenge to reinforce a Bible-based, Christ-exalting, and Orthodox ministry. Dr. Meyer called attention to accomplishments of the church, particularly in the opening of new areas of overseas mission fields, but also acknowledged the theological turmoil that has torn the Synod in recent years. He declared congregations, district, and synodical officials have not exercised the supervision of doctrine and the practice of evangelical discipline when necessary. He cited a lack of progress in fellowship relations with other Lutheran churches and other Christian groups, and said that we grieve that some brethren who walked and worked with us have left to form another church. Dr. Meyer's reference was to formation last year of the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, individuals and congregations of the Synod representing a moderate faction in conflict with the LCMS. In his call for new effort for Christian growth, Dr. Meyer said,
"The Bible tells us that God is continually prompting us to grow, to acquire more spiritual knowledge, and he also makes us responsible for our growth. Thus, we are, in a measure, responsible for our rate of growth. For the Lord Jesus has said, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. That is to say, in direct proportion to the amount of sincere and earnest attention that you give to the study of my word, you will receive instruction, knowledge, and corresponding blessings in return."
He concluded by saying, "There is a need for pardon and power, a need to move forward in the understanding of his word." Following the opening service and prior to the official beginning of the convention, Dr. Preuss held a press conference at the convention center. Among other things, he commented on what it means to be Lutherans.
A Lutheran church is both confessional and evangelical. And confessionalism sometimes causes us to become legalistic, and evangelicalism can cause us sometimes to become permissive. I think there's a great deal of difference between being orthodox and confessional and being legalistic. The word that I think looms largest in my vocabulary when I think of this is the word vindictive. And I think that's something that we have to avoid like the plague.
One of the first orders of business Friday evening was to recognize the observance of the Black Centennial. Dr. Preuss read a proclamation proclaiming July 15th
the official beginning of a year of celebration to commemorate the 100th anniversary of our church body's work among blacks. Paul?
Well, Paul, one of the responsibilities of the president of Synod is to report to the Synod in convention. Dr. Preuss did that Friday evening. His report lasted approximately 40 minutes, and in it he said that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has reaffirmed its identity and is ready to expand its work in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He commented on the positive aspects of the Synod during the past biennium. He talked about what it means to be a confessional church.
Not all churches are confessional, and it's a kind of a technical word. But put in the simplest language, a confessional church is first one which confesses that we are sinners. Don't forget that the Lutheran Reformation was born on the stone, cold floor of a monastic cell, with a man lying there saying, my sin, who shall deliver me? And it doesn't mean that I stand up here and confess your sins. That's easy. The job is when I start confessing my sins. And we each stand before God and confess, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That is Lutheran. That is confessional. And the second element of being a confessional church is that we don't look to our good works. We don't try to slide out of it or con God out of it or sweet talk him out of it. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that he has redeemed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. That's very important. That is our confession. And we don't only confess it intellectually, we don't only confess it in church, we confess it in our lives. We confess it in the way we run our families, in the way we do our business, in the way we act at this convention, in the way we live together as a church. And in the third place, a confessional church is one which does not hesitate to put down on paper for all the world to see exactly where it stands and what it teaches. Our fathers in Lutheranism were right there in the front row saying, we stand with the ancient church in the great creeds, the great ecumenical creeds. They didn't hesitate to say it. And they stood before emperors and popes and bishops and the world and said, we believe, teach, and confess. And these documents, these confessions of ours, are not just something from 1530 or 1540. These are not just some dead documents interesting only to antiquarians. They are the living expression of a living faith, of a living church. And the reason for it is that they center on the realities of every life, sin, death, life, our relationship to God, our redemption in Christ Jesus, our eternal salvation. That is the beauty of the Lutheran confessions.
And in talking about the future, Dr. Preuss said, we in the church are like workers building a cathedral. He mentioned some of the bricks used in building the cathedral. We need to stress Christian education, he said. We need to create warmer and friendlier relationships with all those on our continent who bear the Lutheran name. Our church must show concern for the suffering, for the physical needs of people, as well as the spiritual needs. Our colleges and seminaries need greater support, improved facilities, and higher salaries for professors. There must be a renewal of the parish, President Preuss said, with more Bible classes, prayer groups, evangelism efforts, more concern for church attendance, and greater emphasis upon activities for the youth of the church, as well as for the aging. Can these and the many other things of the church be accomplished? Well, Dr. Preuss said yes, and he commented on our attitude, saying that it is not particularly Orthodox or Lutheran to be again something. Dr. Preuss stated that we must be for something. We must have a positive attitude in our work for the church. The question arose Friday evening concerning those congregations holding dual membership in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches. Some 45 congregations in our church body of over 6,000 hold such dual membership. And at least one delegate to the convention is a member of such a congregation. By what appeared to be a 3-to-1 margin, the convention encouraged those congregations to terminate their membership in the AELC no later than 30 days prior to their respective district conventions. And district conventions, as you know, are held in the first half of 1978. Thus, the convention reversed a former ruling that would have severed official relationship with the dual membership congregations September 1st of this year.
The major news today at Dallas was the re-election of Dr. Preuss as president of the LCMS. This is the way the delegates heard the news.
The final results for the election of the president of Synod. Votes cast, 1,083, all of them valid. Required for a majority, 542. The tally is August Bernthal, 38, Walter Meyer, 119, Charles Mueller, 330, Dr. J. L. Preuss, 596. Dr. Preuss continues as President of Synod.
Later this afternoon, balloting took place for first vice president of Synod. The nominees for first vice president were August Bernthal, Carl Heckman, Walter Meyer, Charles Mueller, and Edwin Weber. Nominated from the floor of the convention was the chairman of the Black Centennial Committee, Dr. Joseph Lavallee. When the votes were tabulated after the first ballot, there was not a winner. The convention has gone into a second ballot, and the result of that balloting is not yet available. Other action was taken during the convention today, including action that will be good news for our neighbors, the professors at Concordia Seminary. Paul?
Thanks, Paul. In the area of higher education, Synod acted today to bring faculty salaries to a level equal to or higher than competing positions in the parish ministry and or comparable seminaries and colleges. Board of Higher Education was called on to develop a salary schedule to meet that goal within 2 years and to make annual adjustments to keep in line with inflationary trends. Another resolution encourages Synod to develop a more active recruitment program among young men for the parish ministry.
Lest you think that conventions are all work and no play, we probably should mention the fact that the delegates do have opportunity from time to time to engage in a bit of socializing. A Texas-style barbecue is planned for this evening at the convention center. Less than a half hour from now, the delegates will meet for that Texas-style barbecue. And throughout the convention, there are alumni meetings and class reunions and so forth, people getting together to enjoy a little bit of fellowship in addition to the work that is required of them as delegates to this convention. Paul, we've been here for several days now. How would you characterize our stay to date?
Well, Paul, our work at the Radio and Television Operations Center hasn't been exactly what we'd like to call smooth. We spent quite a bit of time trying to adapt one thing to another, trying to figure out why our tape recorders work seemingly only when they want to. For us, it's a working convention. For the equipment, it seems to be a vacationing convention. For instance, I tried a few times today to talk with Dr. Richard Dickinson about the Black Centennial celebration. Well, I did talk with him, but I can't share that talk with you because another one of our tape recorders decided to take a break. But he did say that all of the delegates will be treated tonight to a Black Centennial pageant in observance of the Black Centennial Year of Celebration. The pageant will begin with the Song of Hope, a Black national anthem, and will trace the steps of Black Lutheranism in America and Lutheran ministry among the Blacks since 1877 up until today, and will give the delegates a look into the future. The pageant will be based upon Dr. Richardson's book, Roses and Thorns. In my two talks with Dr. Dickinson, he mentioned that it was his hope that our church might become the international Lutheran church. He said we have too much of Missouri and not enough of the rest of our brothers and sisters in the world. This will mark only the beginning of a year-long celebration and hopefully stepped-up ministry to the Blacks. We'll be giving you more on the pageant in our report tomorrow. Well, that's about the joys of
technology, our equipment failing. I really wish that I could have shared that talk. It was an interesting talk.
Speaking of which, speaking of things not going exactly smoothly, let me share this with you. There are many rooms here at the convention center where the floor committees meet to discuss the various proposals. And because of the vast amount of space here, different signs have been placed in front of these rooms in order to help people find out where they are supposed to be. One of our very active committees spent much of their time in confusion because the only sign that came close to the name of their committee read, Technology and Church Relations. Well, so it goes. Paul Deventer in Dallas, along with
Paul Schweinler.
And we'll be back tomorrow morning with another report here on KFUO.
Now, this next report was aired Sunday at both 7:45 in the morning and 11:30.
Good morning. This is Paul Deventer, along with Paul Schweinler, reporting from the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Dallas. The 1,600-plus delegates from all over Synod who have gathered here are engaged in worship and Bible study this morning. According to the schedule, sessions will begin again at 1 this afternoon. Paul, the convention is less than 2 days old at this point, and yet several major actions have already been taken.
Among those, I'm sure you're including the election of Dr. Jacob Preuss's third four-year term as president of the LCMS. He nearly made it on the first ballot. He was only 2 votes short of the required majority. The second ballot, however, produced this announcement.
The final result for the election of the president of Synod. Votes cast, 1,083, all of them valid. Required for a majority, 542. The tally is August Bernthal, 38. Walter Meyer, 119. Charles Mueller, 330. Dr. J. L. Preuss, 596. Dr. Preuss continues as president of Synod.
Also, Paul, Dr. Edwin Weber was re-elected to his second four-year term as first vice president. Similar to the election of Dr. Preuss, it took Dr. Weber 2 ballots to make it.
In other action, the convention reversed a former ruling that would have severed formal relationship with those congregations holding dual membership in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, effective September 1st. The resolution adopted Friday evening during the opening session encourages the 45 or so congregations in the Synod that also hold membership in the AELC to terminate their membership in the AELC if they have not done so by 30 days prior to their respective district convention. They face the possibility of forfeiting their membership in the Synod. Dual membership congregations are urged to meet with their district presidents along with a 3-man committee appointed by the Synod to discuss their concerns. A district president may extend the cutoff date in unusual cases, but in order to do so, it will require the approval of the synodical president. Yesterday, the convention considered quite a number of proposals, and there are several in the area of missions and higher education especially that we'd like to mention. In the area of missions, for example, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod resolved to do something that has not been done for quite some years.
Right, Paul. It's actually been 10 years since the Synod opened a new mission field. And the convention approved a resolution to begin new work among the Mende and Bamoba people in West Africa. And that's an exciting thing for me because I hope to be there maybe in 2 years. In addition to that, the convention gave partner church status to the Hong Kong Synod. It commended its mission partners throughout the world for their work in helping spread the gospel. And a separate resolution gives thanks for recent translations of the New Testament in 3 languages.
And in the area of higher education, the convention had some good news for the faculty members of Synod's colleges and seminaries. The convention voted to bring the salaries of faculty at Synod seminaries and colleges to levels that are competitive with working in parish ministry or other comparable institutions. The Board for Higher Education was asked to develop a new salary schedule to meet the goal in 2 years. It is estimated that the cost of this particular resolution will be approximately $700,000 a year. The convention also requested that the board consider the present inflationary period. And as we all know, seminary professors and college professors are underpaid, and we're happy that they are being recognized in this way by Synod.
Also in the area of higher education, Paul, the convention encouraged the Synod to actively recruit young men for the parish ministry. The resolution that was passed also called upon congregations to be more supportive of their younger members who are pursuing full-time church work as pastors.
In addition to debating and discussing and voting on the various resolutions brought before the convention, the delegates have witnessed and participated in a variety of other activities. The opening worship service, for example, and the worship services going on this morning. Last evening, there was a Texas-style barbecue for the delegates, followed by the Black Centennial pageant. Paul, you had the opportunity to attend that pageant.
Yes, Paul, and what an opportunity it was. The performance was based on the book written by Dr. Richard Dickinson, Roses and Thorns. The whole performance was called A Song of Hope and depicted the highlights of Black Lutheran history under the support and involvement of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, way back starting in 1877 and up until 1977. It showed us how we got started in what was then called Missions to the Colored People, where we are today, and what the future holds for us in that ministry. I hope to be sharing some portions of that pageant in our newscast later this evening. Incidentally, later today, at 7 o'clock this evening to be exact, a Black Centennial worship service will also be held.
Yesterday afternoon, the delegates to the convention had the opportunity to hear words of greeting from Dr. Robert J. Marshall, who is president of the Lutheran Church in America. He talked about our relationship with one another, and in so doing, mentioned a part of the church's work that's very close to us, Paul.
That's right, and this is a quote from Dr. Mark. As much as we value radio and television for proclaiming the gospel, and you and the Missouri Synod do better than most Lutherans with that, still we know our Lord wants us to enjoy a face-to-face, personal fellowship in gathered communities. He also referred to an issue not yet faced by the convention, the Lutheran Book of Worship. He noted that the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Canada had already approved the book, so Missouri Synod can be second in line, and he said he devoutly hoped that that may be so.
Those who are attending a convention for the first time, a church convention such as this one, will find most of it quite interesting and exciting, but they will also discover the tedious and sometimes monotonous parts. Many posts in Synod are filled through elections at synodical conventions, and there seems to be an almost endless stream of ballots. And when, of course, the election is not decisive on the first ballot, the second ballot is passed out, and maybe the third, and so forth. The convention hall here is not as large as it might be. There seems to be a minor seating problem on the floor with not quite as many seats available for the delegates as there are delegates. The clock, too, is a constant problem, most often because it moves too fast. Every attempt is made to adhere to a schedule, and yet that schedule is not always followed to the letter. Debate time is limited, as are the comments of delegates from the floor, and it can be rather frustrating to a delegate to stand in line at one of the microphones on the floor waiting for an opportunity to speak, and then to discover that time for the debate has run out. And sometimes standing in line for a long time causes other problems. One of the delegates on the floor, after standing in line for a long time, was finally recognized by the president. He stated his name and district, as is the practice, and then there was a slight pause followed by, I forgot what I was going to say. We're told the convention costs over $300 per minute, so it is rather important to adhere to the schedule. Nevertheless, sessions often run overtime, and so it goes with the best-laid plans of men. Speaking of schedules, what's on deck for the rest of the day?
Well, Paul, the times I'll be giving are scheduled times, and they don't necessarily mean that these are going to take place on these exact times, but following...
The rest of this report continues on Side 2.